Hello, everyone. This is Anke Menzler, your host for Breakthrough the Glass Ceiling. Our special guest today is Michelle Yu, and we will be talking about coaching women of color and the challenges they face in the workplace. And we will also be touching the differences in culture within the workplace and its contributing factors. But I would love to give a quick intro about Michelle before we dive in. So, Michelle Yu is an HR consultant and executive coach with more than a decade of experience working in various people operations roles within the tech industry. She is motivated to help companies and individuals drive change, accelerate progress, and gain clarity during transitional periods of time. As a coach, she's especially focused on bridging the gap for underrepresented populations, in particular empowering women and people of color. In the past, Michelle has spoken at companies like Google and NBC, Universal, and has been featured in outlets like CNBC. Michelle was former head of HR operations of SoftBank and has worked at companies like Google and Groupon. She received her MBA from Duke, is an ICF certified coach, and host of the Find Your Path podcast. And now, hello, Michelle, and welcome to Breakthrough the Glass Ceiling.
Thanks, Anke, for having me.
That's so great. It's my pleasure to have you. And this is such an important topic that we talk about today. And I would love for you to share a bit about your story and what made you go into the coaching and especially focus on women or people of color.
Yeah, absolutely. So before starting my business, I was in tech, and I would say that I climbed up the corporate ladder, the traditional corporate ladder, and realized when I got there that something felt really off and something felt really misaligned. And then after some soul searching, I realized that this wasn't my path, and I decided to switch and start my own business. And then through that process, I really recognized where I was struggling, and maybe some of the reasons and the factors of why I moved out of the corporate world was as a woman of color, struggling with imposter syndrome, having a hard time advocating for myself and voicing up. And then that's really when I realized that I could help so many more people now having gone through that journey, and what I would have done differently. So now I coach primarily women of color across all levels. I specialize in like mid to senior level positions, primarily in tech. And I also have a boutique HR consulting agency. So Aspire Talent focuses on consulting for small, medium-sized businesses where they're experiencing growth and transition. So I do a mix of both consulting and coaching. And, you know, it's really, you start a business to change the world in your own way. And I felt that there was a big gap that's missing in promoting and advocating for women of color, and also being able to support HR organizations that might not, you know, that might not be supporting their employees as well.
Mm-hmm. So, that's about my story. Yeah. So important. Yes, absolutely. And I cannot even imagine this, because I have never worked in a different culture. So I work with different cultures, yes, but didn't experience it from the opposite perspective. And now this is really important, closing gaps as well, I think, for our audience. And to some, it may be obvious because your audience is women of color, but to some, it's not. So I would love to delve in with you. What are the challenges that women of color focus in the workplace?
That's a great question. I would say the first piece, there's a statistic from a think tank called Colloquial that showed Asian women and Black women are at the bottom of feeling like a sense of belonging in the workplace. So they ranked everyone, and seeing that graphic really shook me up and realized that there's a lot of challenges with people of color, especially women, Black and Asian women, and feeling like they belong in the workplace. And this is something that I typically hear a lot from my clients, is that They feel awkward in the room. Maybe they're the only person in the room that looks like them, and they kind of doubt themselves in being there. They second guess if they have the capabilities to shine in that leadership position, or maybe they like waver a little bit when they're speaking up and challenging and pushing back on people, especially more senior than them. So those are the common pieces that I see. It's really interesting because no one might know this externally. So for example, when I was in corporate, I was one of the youngest directors and one of the only women of color in that department. And I think externally people thought, you know, they think something different, they have a completely different impression, but internally there might be a lot more noise that's swirling around. And this is across all levels. So whether they're, you know, a junior analyst to like an SVP or a C-level executive, they might still be feeling these things internally, but it's just not being addressed. So that's really what I typically see when people come and coach with me, is that there's a lot that's going on underneath the surface that others might not see. Even if they have the title, they have the recognition, they have the schooling, there's just this additional pressure that's like underneath a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much for raising our attention towards this. It's really important, because as I see it, and this is for me a special moment where I can share this with you and get the opposite perspective on that, is because I'm open, and I've always been with people of different color and different backgrounds, but from my perspective it was always just normal to have them around me. But of course, and now you come and say that you, if you are the only one at the table who's looking like that, or maybe coming with a different background, this is more difficult. And maybe you can give us some more insights on what those people also face, because one thing is of course how they look and how they feel, but is there something that other people might not see and do that's challenging, and they wouldn't do it if they knew?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. I would say not everyone. So of course there's like what you can gather externally, but what they might not know is maybe they're the first person in their family to go to college. Maybe English isn't their first language. Maybe their parents have never worked in a corporate role, and they're in the role to provide for their family, and this is the first time they've ever worked in a corporate setting. So a lot of these private conversations that I have with these clients, they will tell me this in confidence, but then it's almost like they're having to code switch of their family life and then go into the office and then completely have a different veneer and persona. And I think it's interesting, or it's needed to really vocalize this and share this, because you might not know what goes on the other side. Like maybe they come from an immigrant family and their family were refugees and there was a lot of this survival, but they worked really hard to be in the room, but the other person just does not see that. So it's important to just share that and to really celebrate and to give grace and empathy, especially if there are areas of development. I would say sometimes, and I'm based in the US and I'm talking about this from a US perspective, but it is very male and white dominated, and tend to give more preference to people that look like them. But if you can understand the story behind the person instead of just the output, that can really start to change the narrative and give the other person a chance and give them a little bit more grace, because you just don't know what the story is behind the hood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Thank you so much for sharing. And yes, it opens up a lot of questions. So how can we, this event is focused on women, and I know about this, the way the male and white dominant, but for women, white women, it's the male dominance, but now the next facet opens up. And how can we bridge the gap towards this, making this easier? How can we really dive in there?
I would say it starts with conversation and being able to create that sense of psychological safety for your people of color to speak up. And organizations can do this by, you know, creating employee resource groups or even promoting coaching. I'm a coach, so I'm a huge fan of coaching. A lot of these things. So let's say, for example, you're the first of your family to go into the corporate world. You're the first in your family to go to college. There's all of these firsts that you're trailblazing. And when there isn't a guide to lead you through and there's gaps where you can't, you know, you can't go to your parents because they're not able to relate. They're not able to ask for advice from people within your immediate family because they don't understand where you're coming from. The organizations can provide more support by resource training or leadership development or coaching, because these are all skills that can be built over time. So I always like to say that if there is a gap that's perceived, it just, there's a lack of training. There's just some muscle that needs to continue to be developed. And there are differences in culture, right? So I'm talking more specifically East Asian and Western, or like Eastern Western cultures. There might not be as much advocating for yourself. Like women in that culture just have a different, you know, status that they know where they fall. And if they've been ingrained in like a more traditional upbringing, and then they're all of a sudden expected to be like advocating and pushing and doing all these things in the workplace, there's a gap there. And that's really where the training and the development can help with, let's practice those skills. Let's get you more comfortable in being able to voice up and speak up for yourself, so it doesn't become as unnatural in the corporate setting. So I wanted to share this really openly because I think people don't really understand, and they have this expectation, like, why is this person not like that? But there's a lot that could be, you know, stemming for that reason.
Oh, wow. Yes. And I cannot imagine how hard this is if you're really, and I as a person am a pretty shy person or introvert, as many people would say, and changing my role is something that, or changing my behavior in a certain role is for me much easier because I had role models. But if you are growing up in a different culture, really, with people who are not doing this, and you cannot, really pick up some new traits, some new behavior, then this could be really challenging. Yeah. Oh my gosh, thank you for sharing that. And what I really would love is also to see what are some differences in the cultures. You specifically talked about the Western and the Eastern cultures. So what are some real differences that we can see in there, so that we see more behind the curtains? Yeah.
Sure. I want to introduce two different models for people that are curious about this world. One is Geert Hofstede. So he is a cultural psychologist from the Netherlands, and he has his whole six dimensions of culture. And there's a couple of things he defines culture as, like power distance. Power distance is one of them. I can't think of all six on the top of my head. Like there's other ones like indulgence and uncertainty avoidance, but power distance is a big one, where let's say you're from an Eastern culture where they really respect those that are in charge, right? Like you'll have Eastern cultures where you have to bow and you have like a certain reverence for those that are in charge, versus in other cultures, the power distance is more on the lower end where everyone's seen as an equal, right? Like Western in the US, you call them hi Bob or whatever it is, you have more of this like sense of equality. So that in itself is very different. So if you come from an Eastern culture where power distance is huge and you've been taught your whole life that it's about respecting those that are in charge, it's about respecting and laying or leaning into the hierarchy, then that will definitely translate in the workplace of it being challenging to speak up and push up to your boss. So Geert Hofstede has, you know, I do actually a training for this, but he has six different dimensions of culture to look at each country and each lens and how, and actually graph and see how they're different. And then the other resource I want to provide is Erin Meyer, and she is an INSEAD business professor, and she has this book called The Culture Map. And also like lists out differences in culture, some of it being communication. There's some cultures that are very high context and there's low context communication. So high context cultures, they might not like say things as directly. They might be more like subtle and weeds. You have to like read through things. And then others where it's like, they're just direct and the straight shooters. And that's also a difference in East and West. So there might not be as much directness. People have to read through the lines. And when you're bridging that gap between different countries, there's a skill that has to be built and there has to be this ability to code switch. So those are just a couple of examples. It's very fascinating, but I do want to direct people to those two resources, especially Aaron Meyer. It's just very fascinating once you get your eyes open on differences in working with different countries. There's a lot there that can be unpacked.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, yes. I can imagine some impacts that it has when we get to know our culture, our own culture first, of course, but on the other hand, of course, as well, the other culture, whichever you are dealing with. So this, yeah, oh my, yeah, dimensions. I can think of dimensions. So what are some real impacts that maybe you have faced, and how did you get over or through this so that also the women that are listening could maybe take some steps?
Absolutely. Well, first off, this is a journey. This is not something where you're like, all right, I watch a webinar for 30 minutes and then I'm like, done, I feel great. I can compartmentalize. Mm-hmm. Right? So there's a whole, there's a lot of, my whole framework really revolves around creating awareness. So awareness of different models of how to see yourself, how to see your culture, and then working on the tools and the skills, right? It's on practicing this time and time again, practicing speaking up, practicing being uncomfortable, practicing like how to feel confident in your capabilities, and then combining that over time, like continuing to build awareness on your gaps and continuing to practice the skills that will help you to actualize just a different, like you'll just completely change your entire being. So, you know, for me, it's been a journey and it's been a lot of understanding, and creating awareness for myself of like where the gaps are. It's been practicing and continuously like doing it, even if it feels uncomfortable, like showing up on this webinar, like 2 years ago, it would have been very challenging for me to do that.
I'm so grateful that you're here today.
You know, like it's just continuing to do this time and then it feels a little bit more natural and organic. So those are some skills. And of course, like it's a journey. And I'd like to say that the more healed someone is and the more that they're able to like work through this versus like suppressing it, the more they'll see a lot of change and growth. A lot of times, if we're wounded and we're trying to operate from a place of woundedness, then we're only able to get ourselves so far. So there's some healing that needs to be there.
Yeah. Oh my, yes. I have another perspective now, and I would love to shed some light on the back of it, because now we talked about the workspace, but what about, because you mentioned something that is really important in this journey, is healing yourself. And of course you invent yourself, you reinvent yourself, you switch who you are. So what impact does this also have on the families? Because you don't change your family. The background is still there, and you don't change your friends and your heritage. So how can the people, because I can imagine some challenges then, how can they get along with those? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that question, because breaking boundaries, it's can be very uncomfortable. And that's why I believe that it's a community. It's not something that we're all meant to do by ourselves. Like this whole journey of life, we're just not meant to go at it alone. Like we're there to lean on people. We're there to create community. But there's, yeah, absolutely. There's a difference when you start to break boundaries and start to like make more money and start to access more levels of influence. There does become a distance between you and others, which I think for me, it's been being able to recognize that like there's just different facets of ourselves. And just because we are one way at work and one way at home, they can still live in harmony. It's not like we have to completely put away one side and then pretend like the other side doesn't exist. It's just a different facet of ourselves, and really learning to celebrate like every piece of ourselves, even if they feel incongruent, even if they feel different. You know, one side might really like making a lot of money and being in those positions of power. And then the other part might really be like really rooted and grounded in the roots of like, you know, knowing where they came from in terms of being coming from poverty and so forth. So it's like we can celebrate all those aspects of ourselves and not shame ourselves for having one way or the next. And I do believe when we start to heal, we break generational patterns, right? So being first of your family to do this stuff, you break generational patterns, you create new intergenerational wealth for your future family, for those around you, and also show other people that it's possible. But it really starts with like a desire to want to do this work and want to heal, because it's like, it's a beautiful journey. Yeah, I could go on and on about this.
Yes, I can imagine. And I think something that you said is pretty important in here. And I love how much this opens up, because you said not shaming us, but grounding in where you come from. And this is so crucial. We all tend to go into our anxiety, so really dive into it and then get stuck and tight and all of that. But knowing that this has maybe brought you to a certain position. And so I would love to talk about this grounding within, because today we have two extremes coming from your culture where you are really how can I put that? That's very incorporated and really within the culture. So really you are part of it, you live it, and then you get into another culture, but you can still ground in that. How does something like that look?
I know, I can see your eyes like widening, like, what in that instance? And for me, I've like had to shed a lot. I think you touched on this a little bit earlier around identity work. Mm-hmm. And when we start to step into something new and someone new, we have to continue to reinvent who our new identity is, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the classic, what got you here won't get you there. Mm-hmm. And it's just about being able to create that identity. Like, what would the future version of me look like professionally? Who does that version of me look like? And then slowly working towards your way to that vision. But a lot of times people don't take the time to consciously create that. They're just like, I just want anything but where I am now, right?
That's what exactly
who I am and what's happening now. Just get me out of this stuck position. Like, if you don't know where you're going to go and you don't know who you want to be and you don't know how you want to show up, then you just get stuck. So the first thing is really starting to create a new identity for yourself. And I had to do this a lot for myself of like, how do I want, we talk about dualities, right? Do I want to honor the Eastern part of me, the Western part of me? Can I bring them into both? Can I blend the masculine, the feminine, all of these things? But we have to be aware of that and recognize at least where have we been leaning? Like, have we been suppressing a part of ourselves that we actually want to share a little bit more, and then slowly work towards building that up again?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. There's a lot of gems here, because you can also, when you are aware of the masculinity and the femininity, and you are aware of the power distance. Exactly. So if you know where you're coming from, more authority or a more open culture or something like that, you can then really get the best out of your culture and bring it into the other culture, which is, wow, pretty amazing, and brings a lot of opportunities to your teams. If you then step up and if you are willing to share all of that. Wow.
Oh. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm just thinking about this in terms of my own, like my own story, because I identify as a Chinese American, and in the Chinese culture, there's a lot of, I'll call it as it is. There's a lot of preference for the male, and there's a lot of preference for like the older son, right? And like, I think maybe this was just part of my whole story, is like, I was a second child and the daughter, I had an older brother, and that's really where I felt a lot of this overcompensating of needing, do I need to be a man? Like, do I need to operate like a man? Because that's a preference in my culture. But I think also in like the workplace, there's just, it, call it as it is, there's a preference for that. But recognizing that there is a lot of benefit and there's a lot of strength in being able to tap into your feminine energy and to be able to operate in like on a softer side and empathy and all of these things. So I think what I've seen is, instead of it being black and white and as a duality, just choosing, you can choose and pick and choose like what works for you, as opposed to like having to choose one or the other.
Oh, wow. And the choosing makes it more fun for me, because it's like a basket where you can see, oh, today is an apple, next day a banana or whatever, if I may compare it like that. But it's really this, okay, what do I want to bring into life today out of that? Oh, I love that. Hello. So what, yeah. Do you see any other impacts that improving the awareness can bring, not only for the career, but for also the community in this area? So really the workplace, but workplace is also a relationship, a community. So any other impacts that you see there?
Well, what comes to mind is, this might be a little bit of a tangent, but we can free our minds in so many ways, right? We can break free from the constraints of our culture, of what's expected of us from society and all of that. And when we just lay it all on the table, then, and like you said, choose, pick and choose like a basket, what you want to take that works for you and doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
You can reinvent your whole new identity. And like, this is what it means to be a leader, is by going first, by being the first in your family to show like it's possible. And it's just, a lot of this is like learning to manage your mind. And when people can see that and start to recognize representation in that area, then they know it's possible for them. But this whole thing of awareness is like, we can free our minds, we can break free from a lot of this, we can break free from the stories that we've been told, we can break free from the constraints that we tell ourselves, but we have to bring awareness to like, where does it come from? And it's probably taught, it's like we've been conditioned, we've been taught this. So honestly, we can rewrite our whole brains and like change the whole like neuroplasticity of how we think to reinvent a new identity. But it comes with, let's start with bringing awareness to like what's at play and where do you want to go?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Yes. It all comes down to our mindset. It all comes down to expanding the vision for us and stepping into it, into the leadership. Love this. Hello. Thank you so much. If the audience should take one thing that you say, okay, out of everything that we have spoken about, what do you say or think is one thing that they should take with them, which is the maybe one or two, I don't know if you can put it and bring it down to one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first thing is that change is possible. Mm-hmm. We have to just believe that it's possible, right? So it's possible to be a woman of color and leading and feeling confident in the room and breaking boundaries and doing everything that you want. All of that is possible, but it's our mindset that has to be adjusted. I think that's, I'll keep it short and sweet. I'll just say, and leave the audience with that.
Thank you so much for giving us so much insight into that, Michelle. And I love how round this is now and how much people can take out of that and really change the world for the better. Yeah. Thank you so much. And for our listeners who want to stay in touch with you, I know that you have brought a gift with you. Would you love to share it?
Yeah, sure. So for the listeners that want to get in touch, you can follow me on Instagram. It's at michellekyu.com, or sorry, at michellekyu, and my website is michellekayu.com. Mm-hmm. And for the gift, I have a career bundle, and within the bundle, there's a negotiation guide. So I want to share with the listeners who are feeling like they're struggling with a negotiation and not really sure how to like negotiate an offer. I want to share some tips and tricks that I've seen from the HR side on the other side of the fence. What are levers that you can pull? How do you approach a negotiation conversation? How should you be thinking about going into the negotiation mm-hmm. conversation? So there's a lot of nuggets of wisdom there that I want to share. And the reason I want to share this is because, look, when we can nail, we'll start with the negotiation. If we can nail a negotiation and feel confident in doing that, it's just like, and you learn those skills and you can do it across the board, like all the time, right? So start with one, I'll teach you the skills in the guide, practice it, apply it, and then you can do it for future roles. You can do it for, I don't know, like negotiating on other things to basically to activate your voice. And I like to say that the career is the first place that it starts. And once you can activate your voice, you can change everything else around you. But long story short, I have a career guide on negotiations that I want to gift to the audience here.
Pretty important topic. Pretty important, because I still see a lot struggling with negotiation, any kind of negotiation, as you put it as well. And I love that. Thank you so much for this. And I'll make sure that we have the link below our session so everyone can grab it. Thank you so much for being our special guest today, Michelle.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
It was. Yes. Thank you. My pleasure. And to our listeners, more sessions will be delivered to your inbox tomorrow. I look forward to joining you tomorrow. Until then, don't forget that changes need chances. So give yourself a chance to rise into your power and embody your true self. It is your time to shine.